So a lot of you are keenly aware of a lot of the things going on in Israel right now. And this is near and dear to our hearts here. You know, for me, especially having so much family over there, you know, I'm watching the news and, you know, are there air raid sirens near where my parents and brothers are living and things like that. And so for a lot of us, this is very near and dear to us. Shoshana, who lived, 25 years in Israel, I'm sure. Yes?
Yeah, my friend was going to Israel. It was canceled because of it.
Oh, right, right. Yeah, so this is, this is important stuff that we're keeping up with, keeping in our prayers. And the history of Israel is unique in all the world. It is absolutely unique, and it's one of, you know, when I'm witnessing to people, particularly if I'm witnessing to somebody who just won't accept the Bible, sometimes we get into a debate, sometimes it's fruitless. A lot of times the real issue is not, can you offer enough proof? A lot of times the issue is, can you hear from the Lord to meet their needs? What is it that they're really protesting against? What is it that they really need to hear? But sometimes we get into the debates, you know? And the uniqueness of Israel is one of the things that is just really hard to deny. There's something unique and something special here. And the existence of the modern state of Israel, right? In 1948, Israel declared its existence, its independence, and existed again after, as a Jewish state, after almost 2,000 years of being scattered around the world. Okay, this just doesn't happen in history, but here it happened. And it's a unique history in good ways and in very, very difficult, painful ways as well. Why does the world hate the Jewish people so much? You know, why? Why does the world hate the Jewish people so much? We have lent to the world certain new vocabulary words. The word ghetto does not come from America, does not come from minorities in America or anything like that. The word ghetto comes from our Jewish people's past, right? It originated actually in Italy. Ghetto meant this is the area the Jews are only allowed in, right? We're going to, this section of land, we don't want you intermixing with the rest of the culture. Ghetto is a Jewish word. Anti-Semitism, even though Semites includes our Arab cousins and so forth, anti-Semitism comes from our past, people who hate the Jews. The UN picks on Israel mercilessly. It's ridiculous how Israel is picked on more than states like North Korea and Iran and stuff like that. Let's put out a UN condemnation because Israel's doing this. Israel's protecting itself, God forbid. So Israel needs a condemnation from the UN. The UN is terribly anti-Semitic. The world is anti-Semitic. There are only three nations that are hated in this world more than Israel, according to the latest BBC poll. North Korea, Iran, and Pakistan. Other than that, Israel is the most hated nation in the world, according to the BBC. And it's crazy. There's something unique going on here, both with the good, with God calling us back to the land, God prospering us, God allowing us to win wars we shouldn't have won. This is wonderful, good stuff. And also the bad, this is unique in the world. Israel is a fulfillment of prophecy and promise. Genesis 13, 14 through 17, the Lord said to Avram, this is before his name was changed to Abraham, the Lord said to Avram after Lot was separated from him, "Now lift up your eyes and look from the place where you are northward and southward and eastward and westward. For all the land which you see, I will give to you and to your offspring forever. I will make your offspring as the dust of the land, so that if a man can number the dust of the land, then your seed may also be numbered. Arise, walk through the land in the length of it and the breadth of it, for I will give it to you. Ever since the days of Abraham, almost 4,000 years ago, that promise has been for the Jewish people, for the descendants of Abraham. Jeremiah 23, verses 7 and 8. Therefore, behold, the days come, says the Lord, that they shall no more say, as the Lord lives, who brought up the children of Israel out of the land of Mitzrayim, Egypt, but as the Lord lives, who brought and who led the seed of the house of Israel out of the north country and from all the countries where I had driven them, they shall dwell in their own land. This latter-day ingathering into Israel that we see, that has taken place, that is taking place, that will continue to take place, is greater, the Lord is saying, than even me bringing the people of Israel out of Egypt. This is awesome stuff. I mean, we Jewish people were scattered all over the earth. Jews came back from America, from a lot from Russia, from Ethiopia. We didn't even know there were Jews there. There's Jews there. Let's get them back to Israel, from Australia, from New Zealand. Doesn't matter where in the world, from the Latin American countries. It doesn't matter where in the world you go, other than maybe Antarctica or something. The Lord has brought our people back to the land. And this is all according to prophecy. This is awesome. This is awesome, right? This is the good. And then, like I said before, we've got the bad as well. We've got the BBC poll letting us know how much people hate us. We've got just a history full of anti-Semitism. The pogroms in Russia and Poland where they just came in and just massacred Jews, burnt up our villages. We've got the Holocaust, 6 million Jewish people dead. We've got the Spanish Inquisition that kicked us. Even to this day, people are finding out, hey, I am a converso, or I'm a descendant of those that were forced to convert or forced to flee Spain. We never knew why our grandmother lit candles Friday night. Right, and so we looked into it and found out that we are descendants of Jews from Spain. You know, to this day, we're still dealing with the consequences of the Inquisition. Like I mentioned before, the UN condemns Israel. What, you know, come on. Israel, when they go to bomb Gaza, they bomb Hamas targets, right? An internationally recognized terrorist organization took over in Gaza. Israel bombs. What do they do first? They drop leaflets. Get out of your houses. We need to bomb this area. They don't want people killed, right? They make phone calls even. We're about to bomb your area. Get out of your house. What does Hamas do? Hamas says, don't leave your house, right? Who gets the condemnation? Well, you know, they did condemn Gaza, but Israel gets the bulk of worldwide criticism, it seems. America, thank God, is maybe not as pro-Israel as it used to be, but certainly more pro-Israel than the rest of the world. Why is this, why do we have the good and the bad centered in here on Israel? Israel is the center, I believe, of the fight in many cases between good and evil, because this is where the Lord's plan is going to come to fruition. From today's Torah portion, Numbers 33, 50 through 53, the Lord spoke to Moshe in the plains of Moab by the Jordan at Jericho, saying, speak to the children of Israel and tell them, when you pass over the Jordan into the land of Canaan, then you shall drive out all the inhabitants of the land from before you and destroy their figured stones and destroy all their molten images and demolish all their high places. And you shall take possession of the land and dwell therein, for to you I have given the land to possess it. The land's a gift from the Lord, right? For us to possess, for the Jewish people to possess. And sometimes when I talk to certain Christians who say they believe the Bible, and we talk about this, they say, well, why does it matter? Why does a piece of earth matter? If we're promised a new heavens and a new earth, why does what happens here on a plot of ground matter? Isn't the kingdom of God spiritual? Isn't it spiritual? What's going on here? Well, what's going on here is we have fallen into a Greek mindset in some areas. Okay, we've fallen into this idea, maybe diluted a little bit, maybe we don't consciously think about it this way, but subconsciously at least, we've gotten into this idea that what is spiritual is necessarily good, and what is physical is necessarily bad. And that's Greek, that's not biblical, right? What is physical is not necessarily bad. It's this Greek mindset that causes some monks and nuns and priests, whatever, in certain Christian sects, to go off into the desert and have nothing to do with the world, and that is somehow holy. Or to take a vow of silence, I'm never going to speak a word or whatever, and somehow that's holy. And we Jews are sitting there scratching our head, why is that holy? That's not holy. Right? What's holy? What's holy is tilling the ground the Lord gave us and bringing to Him the first fruits of our offerings, right? What's holy is bringing that spirituality onto the earth plane, onto the physical plane, and not separating ourselves from it, right? As if the most holy people are those who never laugh, right? In the old Jesus films where he just kind of glides along, doesn't really walk. And it was a big deal. I forget who it was, the Jesus who smiled. Finally, there was a film that showed Jesus, and he smiled, and it was like, wow. It's like a brand new theological concept that maybe Jesus smiled rather than just being so holy. You know, and I brought up before the telescope. Galileo points it up to the moon, and they look at the moon, and the moon is filled with craters, and it's not this beautiful jewel-like sphere that they expected, and so they call the telescope the eye of Satan. Why? Why does it matter if the moon is perfect or not? Because of this Greek mindset that the further you get, things further from the earth are holier, right? And so you have these level of spheres. The reason the moon can hang up in the heavens like that is because it's so beautiful and crystalline. And anyway, it's just not the truth that spirituality is separated from the day to day. And so Israel, the land, is important. Why? Jeremiah 32, verses 36 through 40. Now, therefore, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning the city whereof you say, it is given into the hand of the king of Babylon by the sword, and by the famine, and by the pestilence. Behold, I will gather them out of all the countries where I have driven them in my anger, and in my wrath, and in great indignation. And I will bring them again to this place, and I will cause them to dwell safely, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God. Okay, so far, what do we have here? So far, we have the physical realm thing taking place. I'm going to bring you back to the land. I'm going to bring you back to the place where you should be. And then the spiritual happens. Verse 38, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God. And I will give them one heart and one way that they may fear me forever, for the good of them and of their children after them. And I will make an everlasting covenant with them that I will not turn away from following them to do them good, and I will put my fear in their hearts that they may not depart from me. Ezekiel 36, 24 through 27, same message. For I will take you from the nations, gather you out of all the countries, and bring you back to your land. The physical will take place, the physical possession of the land. Then the spiritual takes place. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean from all your uncleanness and from all your idols. Moreover, I will give you a new heart. I will put a new spirit within you. I will remove the stony heart from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my ruach within you. What's ruach?
Spirit.
I will put my ruach, my spirit within you. Then I will cause you to walk in my laws, so you will keep my rulings and do them. I want to do something spiritual in you, Israel. But the first step is to gather you back to the place, the physical location, where that where my spirit will be poured out, where I will give you a new heart, where I will cleanse you of all your uncleanliness. So we've seen so far the first part of this is happening, right? We are being gathered back to the land. According to the prophets, the next step is that spiritual renewal, the outpouring of the Spirit of God. Okay, and Ezekiel's Valley of Dry Bones. Look, this is not about end days, resurrection, that we're going to be physically come up from the graves. Like, I'm not saying we will or we won't. I'm not getting into that subject. But what I'm saying is Ezekiel 37 is about Israel being gathered back together, right? The bones and flesh coming together. And then what does it say? Prophesy. Prophesy to the winds, right? And the wind comes in and the wind fills Israel. So Ezekiel 37 is right in line with Ezekiel 36. Imagine that, right? Context there. So many people forget the context. And Jeremiah 31 about the new covenant, and Jeremiah 32 about the new heart. When? After I bring you out of your graves, after I bring you back to the land of Israel, then the spiritual is going to happen. And not only that, but this is a blessing for the whole world. Romans 11, 15. For if their rejection, if Israel's rejection leads to the reconciliation of the world, what will their acceptance be but life from the dead? I spent all day working on Romans chapter 9 the other day. All day. It looks like determinant. For those of you familiar with Romans chapter 9, it looks like Paul is teaching that we have no free will. It looks like Paul is teaching that we have, those who are going to be, those who are vessels of wrath are vessels of wrath. Those who are vessels of God's blessing and richness, riches are, you just are what you are. It's not about that. Okay, Romans 9, which you'll have to go back and read on your own. Romans 9 is about God's working in history to bring about goodness for his people. Okay, he hardens Pharaoh's heart. Okay, Paul doesn't get into how much did Pharaoh have to do with it himself, or how much, he doesn't even get into that. Paul says God hardened Pharaoh's heart so that Israel could receive more of the riches, more of the blessing. If Pharaoh's heart is hardened, then we witness the 10 plagues. We witness this great freedom out of Egypt. Egypt becomes the vessel of God's wrath so that Israel can receive the blessings. But now, because of Jewish rejection, in large part of Messiah, Israel temporarily becomes the vessel of wrath. Israel temporarily becomes the vessel of wrath so that the Gentiles can receive the gospel. But when that vessel of rejection is restored to God, what does Romans 11:15 tell us? It tells us, what's that going to be but life from the dead for the world? So Israel being brought back into the land, Israel then receiving the breath of heaven, the ruach, HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, being renewed and restored through Yeshua the Messiah, that's going to be life from the dead for the world, according to Romans 11. Micah 4, 1 through 4, but at the end of days, the mountain of Adonai's house will be established as the chief of the mountains and will be raised above the hills. People will flow up to it. The many nations will go and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of Adonai, to the house of the God of Jacob. Then he will direct us in his ways, and we will walk in his paths. Picture this in your mind. Don't let it just be me up here speaking. Picture this in your mind, the glory and the joy of all the nations going up to Jerusalem to worship and to learn about the Lord. For Torah will go forth from Zion and the word of Adonai from Jerusalem. Zechariah 8:20-23. Thus says Adonai of hosts, peoples, and the inhabitants of many cities will again come. The inhabitants of one city will go to another, saying, let us go and entreat the favor of Adonai and to seek the Lord of hosts. I am going. Indeed, many peoples and powerful nations will come to seek Adonai of hosts in Jerusalem and to entreat the favor of Adonai. Israel's restoration to the land is the prelude to Israel's spiritual restoration, which is the prelude to the world's restoration. Let's go there. That's where we need to go to learn about the Lord. That's where we need to go to receive his instruction, his Torah. Let's go worship the Lord in Jerusalem, right? And Germans and Americans and the Spanish, all over the world, let's go seek the Lord here in Jerusalem, because Jerusalem returning to the Lord is life from the dead for the world, according to Romans 11, according to Paul. And so, but it all starts with that physical restoration, which we see happening. So the point is not, for those who say, those who I've talked to, not in this congregation, but those that I've talked to say, well, why does it matter? We get a new heavens, we get a new earth, we get a new Jerusalem that comes down from heaven. Why does it matter what happens in the Middle East? Why does it matter what happens on that dusty strip of land about the size of New Jersey? Why does it matter what happens there? Because the new heavens and the new earth is connected with Israel. Their coming, their fullness is connected with what happens on that space. Because the New Jerusalem comes down from heaven, and it's called the New Jerusalem. It's not called, like I said before, it's not called the New New York, the New Brooklyn, the New Tallahassee. It's the New Jerusalem that comes down, because there's a connection between what's going on in Jerusalem, the revival going on there, and what's coming down from heaven above. It starts on a physical piece of land. And I want us to understand this, not just so we have a proper view of Israel, not just so that we are supporters of Israel and so we know what's going on in the world, although that's important. We also need to understand the application of this concept in our lives. What do I mean by that? First of all, sometimes we are content on just the physical plane, okay? Israel needs to understand they're not just there for the physical land. They're not just there to be protected and not have to worry about another Holocaust. Israel eventually needs to have their eyes open. We are here for the restoration of the world. Eventually, they'll understand that, okay? For now, most of them don't. Eventually, they'll understand that. You need to understand that you did not come here this morning because you wanted to hear good moral teaching or practical living, or because studies say those who are involved in religious activities live longer, healthier lives. You didn't come here for that surface level stuff. You need to open up to the idea that this is not enough. What I need is I need connection with the Lord. I need that spiritual revival. I need that, okay? Don't be content just because your bills are being paid, right? Just because you have a nice social life. You may even love your synagogue. You may even do the religious thing, but it can all be that surface level stuff if we don't say, you know what, the ultimate goal here is that God wants to connect with me, and I want to connect with him. I want him to be that blessing in my life. I've got to think beyond just what my eyes see and my hands touch and my ears hear. there's got to be a greater depth, a greater revival going on in my own heart. The second thing that we need to learn from this is some of us have the opposite problem. Some of us want the spirituality, but we don't make place and time for it on the physical realm. We want the spirituality, but you turn on the TV instead of praying. Okay? I mean, you can watch TV. I watch TV. I'm not saying don't watch TV. But when the Lord calls you to pray, turn off that TV. Seek the Lord. Okay? Some of my most spiritual times have been when I have started out feeling the least spiritual. But I make that place and that space in my physical realm. I say, you know what? I'm going to go down to my office, and as much as I feel like just doing this or just doing that, I need to pray. I need to make space for the spiritual in my life. Or when I lived in a small three-bedroom apartment and didn't really have place to get away, I'd go for a walk, right? But I've got to make place and space for the spiritual to happen. Luke 10, 38 through 42. Now while they were traveling, Yeshua entered a certain village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. You all know this story. She had a sister called Miriam, who was seated at the master's feet listening to his teaching, but Martha was distracted with much serving. As she approached Yeshua and said, "Master, doesn't it concern you that my sister has left me to serve alone? Then tell her to help me." But answering her, the Lord said, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and bothered by many things, but only one thing is necessary. For Miriam has chosen the good part, which will not be taken away from her." The one understood the spirituality of what was going on here. Let me put aside these other things that are, you know, the floor needs to be swept. The dishes need to be done. The food needs to be prepared. But what is spiritually going on? Let's make room for that, like Miriam did. Let's make room for that in the physical. What we do with the physical is an important side to true spirituality. What are you doing with your time? Right? Can giving money be spiritual? Of course. I mean, look at the Torah. This is spirituality. I'm trusting the Lord here. Some of us think, "Oh, I'm so spiritual. I pray in tongues. I'm so spiritual. I pray an hour a day." And all that's wonderful and good stuff. But are you grabbing a hold of your money and not able to trust the Lord and to give? Now, those of you who are struggling, this is not a guilt trip at all, right? This is not a give me money thing. This is surrender every part of your life to what the Lord wants to do. It's all spiritual. What happens on the physical plane is spiritual. What is faith in Yeshua about? Sometimes we wrongly present it strictly on that spiritual, on that physical level. Okay, for example, somebody can understand that Yeshua is the Messiah by looking at the prophets. Well, according to Micah, he was supposed to be born in Bethlehem. Yeshua was born in Bethlehem. Got it, right? According to Daniel 9, he's supposed to come before the destruction of the second temple. He came before the destruction of the second temple. Got it. Okay? According to Isaiah 53 and Psalm 22, he's going to die for the sins of the people and rise again from the dead. Got it. I believe it. Check, check, check. And I'm done. I've done my John 3:16 thing. I believe in the Lord, therefore I have eternal life. And we don't understand. That's just the start. Right? It's not about a checklist of, yes, I understand and I get it up in the head. Right? That also is a Greek philosophical mindset. And what we need to understand is this is the starting place for your inner revival. Just like the land of Israel is the starting place for that spiritual revival. If you're not interacting with the Lord himself, and it's not difficult, right? This is not a go home and let me kick myself because I'm not really saved. Am I saved? Am I not saved? This is not about being saved. Is so easy. Receiving the salvation of the Lord, the eternal life of the Lord, is so easy because God wants you to have it. This is not something God is trying to keep away from you, and you've got to make sure you do the right thing so eventually God's like, well, okay, I guess you've earned it. Here you go. Now, God wants you to interact with Him. God wants you to lay it aside and to make space for Him. He made space for you in the physical realm. It is very important that we believe these physical realm things, that He was born in Bethlehem. It is important that we understand that God did walk the earth amongst us as Yeshua. It's important that we understand He did die on the cross for our atonement. These physical things are important, that He rose from the dead on the third day. These things are important, but they're not, there's a difference between, yes, I understand it happened, and yes, Lord, I understand the spirituality as well as what's going on physically. I understand that You died on the cross in my mind, in my heart. I know that it was for me. I understand that You rose from the dead on the third day. In my mind, I know that that happened. In my heart, I understand that as You are resurrected, I am resurrected because You and I are connected, Lord. There's a huge difference here. Some people think they're saved because they got that checklist checked off. That's not the kind of belief the Lord is talking about. He wants you to interact with these things that happened on the physical plane so that the spirituality can happen, right? Israel's revival does not happen apart from the land, according to the prophets. I'm calling you back, and there I'm going to pour out my Spirit on you. There I'm going to give you the new heart, right? And for us, oh Lord God, I finally get it. All this time I thought I was just supposed to recite a creed and I'd be okay. It's not about reciting a creed. It's about, Lord God, I understand that in the physical, Your death was for me. I thank You for that, Lord. It's different, right? It's different. Lord, I thank You. In the resurrection of Messiah, that was also for me. And I participate in that. A lot of you went through the mikveh waters this summer. You were immersed. You were baptized, right? And it could be a matter of going underwater and coming up, and that's it. Okay, you're a little cleaner. Very good. You did what you're supposed to do. Very good. Or it can be, like Paul says in Romans 6, it can be that death. You can't breathe underwater. Lord, I'm connecting with Messiah who died for me. I come back up from the water. I breathe. Lord God, as Messiah was resurrected, so am I given eternal life. And that's what we need, right? That is what we need. So the Lord created spiritual renewal for us in the physical realm. By physically dying, by physically rising from the dead, He created a spiritual reality for us that is life, and that is blessing, and that is renewal, right? And so how do we respond? Lord God, You did this for me on the physical level. I'm going to do it for You on the physical level, Lord God. I'm going to allow it to take root in me by clearing out of my life those things that inhibit it, that inhibit my spiritual renewal from happening. I am taking time, Lord God, to interact with You. I'm rearranging my physical, earthly schedule so that the spiritual can happen within it. I am going to read my Bible, not just read it so I can check off my list, bam, did that, but so I can connect with You, my Father. I'm going to pray, not just because I want to check that off of my religious to-do list, but so that I can connect with You, my Father. I'm going to clear out the books that shouldn't be in my home. I'm going to clear them out. I'm going to turn off the TV I shouldn't be watching. I'm going to stop saying the words I shouldn't be saying. I'm going to change my physical life, not because if I do this, I gain salvation. but I'm going to do this because I want to connect with you, my Father. Lord God Almighty, help us to connect with you, Lord God. What we do with our physical lives, our time, our possessions, our gifts, our skills, our finances, Lord, what we do with these things can be spiritual life for us, Lord God. We can allow you into every single area. Just, Lord God, just like those winds from heaven, the breath of heaven, the spiritual revival is going to happen to Israel in the land, Lord God. That is important. The land, they need to be where you have called them to be. And then receive that spiritual renewal, that spiritual revival. So, Lord God, am I going to adjust my life? Not out of a list of should do and shouldn't do's, and yes, I'm doing the right thing. But, Lord God, because I want to connect with you, my Father. I want to connect with you as I'm interacting with my family and interacting with my friends. I want to be here at synagogue. Not because it's good for me, but because I want to connect with you, Lord God. I want to pray. I want to meditate on your word. Because I want to connect with you. I don't want a life that just stays on the physical level. That's just the start. I want a life where the physical is submitted to you so that the spiritual renewal and revival can take place in me. And so, Lord God, right now we submit to you. Every area, Lord God. We submit it to you, not just, Lord God, because we want to be obedient, but because we want you in it. He wants to be in your life. He wants to be filling up your time, filling up your thoughts, filling up your home with his spirit. And we submit it to him. Lord God, we submit it to you. We receive the life. We receive the revival. And we pray also for Israel, Lord God, that Israel be protected and Israel be safe under the covering of your wings and that Israel's eyes be opened. Hey, hey, the balance of the world is happening here. Good versus evil happens here. The Lord has chosen us to be the vessel through which revival for the world will come. Lord God, send your spirit on your people. Open their eyes to Yeshua the Messiah and to the new covenant that he initiated, that covenant of forgiveness of sins, as it says in Jeremiah 31, that covenant of a new heart, as it says in Ezekiel 36, that covenant of reconciliation with the Lord, that is written not on stone tablets, but written on our hearts. So, Lord God, we submit it all to you, not just out of obedience, yes, out of obedience, but more so, Lord God, because we want to see you interacting. We don't want to just do the right thing. We want to be aware of your spirit within it. We want to be in touch with your spirit, and we want our hearts and our lives changed in your presence. In Yeshua's name, amen. Thank you.